As Oliver said, most of the tunes this evening are psalm tunes, and particularly psalm tunes which for one reason or another have fallen into what presbyteries call desuetude, although that to me always sounds rather like a Christmas pudding, falling into desuetude. The first two tunes are Cheshire and Chichester. Now I think that most people imagine that when the Psalter was written, you had a group of scholars who sat round a table with the authorized version in front of them. And they took the prose of the authorized version and put it into the metrical verse of our modern metrical Psalter today. And then another group of men took these verses and set them to the psalm tunes we have today. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Around the time of the Reformation, there were umpteen books with various translations of the Psalms on the go. There were also umpteen books of religious and spiritual tunes being circulated. In fact, many of our Psalms today come from different sources, and even different lines in the same verse were written by different men. And there are some psalms where even the half lines come from different men. Did you know that our 23rd psalm comes from around 8 or 10 men? So it is a hodgepodge of different authors. Now, originally the psalm tunes had no names, just as many of the tunes that people sing today have no names. The tune to the Rowan Tree hasn't a name. It's called the Rowan Tree. The tune to the Three Marys doesn't have a name. It's called the Three Marys. And in the same way, the original psalm tunes had no names. And then two psalters appeared on the market amongst Reformed Christians. The first was Thomas Est's Psalter, down in England in 1592, and then came, 30 years later, Ravenscroft's Psalter, also in England. And in these two psalters, Thomas Est's and Ravenscroft's, you first have psalm tunes with names. Down in England, you had Kentish, Glastonbury, and pretty soon in Scotland, because the Scots are very good at aping the Southerners, you had Caithness, Dundee, Stornoway, Langham, and, wait for it, a psalm tune called Inverness, which apparently was so bad that it dropped out very early on. These two tunes, Cheshire and Chichester, appear named, Cheshire and Chichester, in those two psalters, Estes and Ravenscroft's, for the first time towards the end of the 16th century. Before we sing the tunes, can I say that between the printing of Estes' Psalter and Ravenscroft's Psalter, a man called Allison also printed a psalm book. He collected some tunes and he says, of Cheshire and Chichester, which we are now about to sing, these tunes are for the use of such as are of mean skill, and whose leisure least serves to practice. In other words, they're rather limited musically, and they're people who don't have much time to practice. Well, here we are with our mean skills, friends, and without much time to practice. In fact, no time to practice now. And we're going to sing Cheshire and Chichester from these two important psalters by Thomas Est and Ravenscroft. Now the next tune, London New, is one of the fine and one of the great tunes in the Psalter. In fact, it is a psalm tune which has endured for 400 years. It appears in the Scottish Psalter of 1635, which is called the Great Scottish Psalter because of its importance. Now, the man who collected the psalm tunes for the Great Scottish Psalter was a man called Edward Miller, and he was in charge of the music in the Chapel Royal. Not the Chapel Royal in London, which is Roman Catholic, and was built, I think, by Charles I for his Roman Catholic wife, but the Chapel Royal at Stirling, which was the royal chapel for the Scottish court. And Edward tells us that he spent much travail and expenses collecting all these psalm tunes. He had the dream of raising the standards of God's praise in public worship. And he says that he wanted to correct abuses, quote, observed in all kirks, where sundry tribbles, basses, and counters, set by diverse authors, being sung one upon the same tenor, that's the melody, because in those days, in writing the tune down, it was the tenors who had the melody, and the trebles and the basses did all sorts of things round about the treble. The same tenor do discordantly rub each upon the other, offending both musical and rude ears, which never tasted of this art. Well, we do hope that your musical and rude ears will not be offended by our singing of London New, this great tune from the Great Scottish Psalter of 1635, and we also hope that we do not discordantly rub each upon the other. You'll be interested to know that London New was not the original name of the tune. It was called Newton, after Newton, which is one of the suburbs of the town of Ayr. London New. It's strange how fashions change and how some psalm tunes fade out in churches and others seem to last forever. The two tunes now, St. Mary and Love, are very favourite tunes in the United Free Church, UF. St. Mary, I think, is used in the Free Church still. Love, I don't think I've ever heard sung in any church. The Roots of St. Mary, it's a lovely tune, a lovely, sad, penitential tune. The roots of it are rather obscure. Some say that it was written by an English organist called Dr. Blow, which seems a very fitting name for an organist. It's an enduring tune because it crops up in a book called Priss's Psalms of 1621. 50 years later, it crops up again in a Psalter called Playford's Book of Psalms, and it's still in our Psalter today, although it's not used much. St. Mary. The tune Love was written by a very fascinating character called John Campbell, who was a prosperous merchant in Glasgow at the start of the last century. He was an enthusiastic amateur musician and a good organist, and he was one of the first members of the Glasgow Choral Union, which is still on the go today. Unfortunately, John Campbell had an inordinate love of decorating his psalm tunes with ornaments and runs and graces and all sorts of fancy things, so that unfortunately, although he could write good tunes, some of them are so decorative that they are unsingable by congregations. His most famous tune is Orlington, which you may recall has a little bit of ornament because you have to repeat the third line. And the tune Love is rather like Arlington. It's slightly decorated, and the third line is repeated. It's very much in use in the United Free Church today. I think love is a bonny, bonny tune, and it's worthy of more use amongst Christian people. Here we are then, St. Mary and love. Bon Accord, we really come north home, to the north of Scotland, because the Bon Accord is Aberdeen's motto. Bon Accord, which means good heart, or good agreement, or good friendship. And it betrays our friendship with France. Fittingly enough, Bon Accord appeared in a Scottish Psalter printed in Aberdeen in 1625. Bon Accord is what's called a report tune. The report in it being a kind of ornamentation or decoration in which you get a little canon or a little fugue to make the tune more interesting. Some of the church singers during the Reformation period complained that the Reformation had made all the psalm tunes rather dull. It was common meters forevermore, short meters forevermore, or long meters forevermore. And they got a little bit tired. And so the singers cried out for something a bit more colourful. And so report tunes were composed, and Bon Accord is one of them. Now you'll know that until last century, it was thought irreverent and improper for church choirs to rehearse the actual words of the Psalter during choir practice. The words of the Psalter were to be reserved for an actual service of worship. And during choir practice, the choirs would use the psalm tunes, but they would use popular poems and indeed Scottish ballads to fit the psalm tunes, and even nursery rhymes. They would sing nursery rhymes to Scottish psalm tunes. There's a famous story of a precentor who made a dreadful mistake during the public worship. Some of these precentors were very vain fellows, you know, and got carried away with their own importance, not to mention the psalm tune. And during choir practice, the choir had been using the words of Sir Patrick Spens, which is a common meter tune. Unfortunately, on the Lord's Day morning, they were singing the 107th Psalm, which is the psalm about those who go down to the sea in ships and see the wonderful works of the Lord in the deep. And there's a description of a storm in the middle of the psalm. And the wires got crossed in the precentor's brain. And so, having finished one verse of Psalm 107, dealing with the storm, he launched forth into the next verse. O laith, laith, were o'er gid Scots lords to wat their cork-heeled shoon. In fact, he was singing the storm scene from the ballad Sir Patrick Spens. Nothing daunted, the entire congregation followed him, and they sang to the end of Sir Patrick Spens to a common meter tune. Well, we would think that was profane, and we would think it profane to sing nursery rhymes and ballads to psalm tunes. But 100 years ago, they would have thought what we are doing tonight profane, singing psalms, but not within the context of a service of worship. That's how the spirit of the times has changed. Now we're going to sing this report tune, Bon Accord.